What you are doing, you will earn for the Akhira. What they have done, they will earn the fruit of their deeds. So it is a time that we need to reconsider, reflect, what are we doing? Are we going towards luxury, comfort, enjoyment, entertainment? And then that you must expect some type of an end thereafter. If you're going in that line, then there is a certain type of a consequence. Some 2-3 years ago, I was going to manage with a small church of the Kaisa Teresa. So, our driver, Mona Yusuf, was taking, coming to see this taxi that is before me. I can see that he's walking, but it's stationary. Now, I'm trying to imagine now, how can that walk when it is stationary? So he said, oh, well, it's a plane, it's a flash in the brain. So I said, why do they do this? What do they achieve out of this? So he says, well, there is some music that is carrying on. And with that music is blasting, so that music would have a certain consequence. So they're rocking and rolling one side to the other side, and they want for an additional one, the one that is rocked. So this is a consequence of that behavior. This is what is going on. And that type of entertainment will have a certain type of a consequence. So if we're going to go into that mood of luxury, etc., then you have to be prepared for that type of a consequence. This is how the world has been designed, that you choose. The whole world has been designed in the concept of pick and pay. Pick and pay. You may be shocked if I say pick and pay, but that's the concept of the entire life. And the Sulaiman said that one for my life, that the Ibrahim started to fade the slums in the entire Ummah. So we should say, wa alayhi wa ala nabiyyina as-salatu wa-salam. All of us should say, kun return salam. But he also conveyed the message to this ummah, listen, the jannah and the jannah al-qiyam. Jannah is a plain thing. And you want the jannah to flourish on palaces, mansions, dreams, and whatever else you want, all the luxuries, then you need your effort to say, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, besides the Quran, say, then according to how much you put in, will your jannah flourish. Now you want the jannah to just come automatically, or you think it's just a jackpot, it's something just by coincidence and luck, then you are mistaken. You will put that type of effort and you will get that type of result. Allah is showing to you in your business. You put that type of effort, you see the type of result. You only put that type of effort, you don't see the result. Now, 32, Wazir, 2, Wizard of God, each person is responsible for his own. Laha ma kasabat wa lakum ma kasabtum. What you do, you will earn the fruits of what you do. What they have done, they will earn the fruits of what they have done. So, this verse is revealed, أَلَمْ يَعْدِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That hasn't the time arrived, the believers should humble themselves the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, the Quran, the command of Allah Ta'ala, even the time come. Sahaba Ikram was very shocked at this. Immediately they went to another plane, different plane, quick, immediately. They realized it was the mistake. That we have mistaken ourselves, we thought that we can relax. The Quran, Mullah has been speaking about, is sharing one incident, some, we are 1980 somewhere. Or 81, I was going to an extreme advisor. So the late Mr. Khansar, the father of Abdul Rahim Khan, he was a common class. So he says to me that, you know, I want to share an experience with you. I was also amongst the trustees of some masjids and organizations, etc. And I worked closely with Mr. A.M. Bulla, the founder of Kingsgate, I worked with him. And there was a discussion in a madrasa or in a masjid, it was Anjuna school or in whichever school it has been. But there was a whole discussion that was going around among the trustees. There was the need of completing the Quran Sharif at school. But they were offering Islamic studies as well. And the discussion was going, what was the need to complete the recitation of the Quran Sharif? Because in the time those who read the Quran Sharif, who read Smart as well, they felt it's a racist exercise to complete the whole Quran Sharif, the recitation of the entire Quran Sharif. This was the discussion. Well, the side of the room of four of us is there with you. He said, no, whatever you do, the Quran Sharif has to be completed. You see, Abdullah, whatever he was, he had a good spot for him. He heard the whole discussion, the positive and the negative. He heard everything. Then he said to him, I feel that we should just allow the Quran Sharif to be completed in our service to the whole country. And the reason he gave wouldn't have even appeared to me. Wouldn't have appeared to me, sir. He says, possibly the student that is coming to our school, this may be the first and the last apology. It's possible. And what he said is a fact. And now that you're a minister, I can tell you that's a fact. That it may be that the child that is reading the Qatar in your supervision, in your minister, it may be the first and the last Qatar who would have not made a Qatar thereafter for his entire life. The decision was accepted, carried on. Now this Mr. Khansa Bishani, as we go into the Islamic dialogue, he's telling me, you know what, thereafter Mr. Ebola passed away. And I have seen him, he's going past the madrasa, smiling away. As though the man had made his head. So, indeed, it's just one or two positions we can hold. Either we are actively involved, or otherwise, we are supporting those that are active. This too. There's no other, there's no third department. Either we are actively involved, and those of us for some reason can't be very active, and will properly, we will support somehow or other and assist the people that are cooperating. So at least we can say, only katak karke shahidon ke naam dakhil kar diya. We couldn't do much, but at least we have done good, we have pushed the wagon to the extent that we could, we have done this. Around 1930, India had a Shuri movement. And it was a mass movement to convert Muslims into Christianity or Hinduism. That was a movement that was going on. English is bright as it is, cunning and shrewd, etc. So they brought it before the history that we tried to convert the Muslims. Islam was the obstruction of all. Whatever else the person can be practicing, Hinduism or Buddhism, whatever, that's not a problem. But Islam genuinely is a problem for all. So when Islam is a problem, then you should just delete the Islam. So that person will remove her from Islam. But then after the whole extension, we saw we didn't get the type of result that we expected. So they continue, they don't stop. When they're conniving and they're scheming, they're conniving, they're plotting, they don't stop at any point. So right now, what was the reason for these people not accepting Islam? Or not accepting Hinduism or Christianity? We tried, we offered them well, we frightened them, we did everything that was in our power. We are the rulers, we did everything that was in our power. But why is it, how is a certain class of people, they directly refused, they couldn't accept Islam, they couldn't just accept our faith. They wouldn't just move, remove them. So we were expecting them. We saw those homes for those individuals that just refused to accept our invitation, those homes where the Quran Sharif was being recited regularly. Every day of the year that the Quran Sharif was recited. Recited, and thereafter we ponder over the message of the Quran. Not by taking just any ordinary any translation and studying it yourself, either you study it by someone. And if it is not possible for you to study the Quran Sharif yourself, or study it under someone's supervision and guidance, then the Fazaila Ahmad Fazaila Sadaqat. I've studied it again and again, and I feel very sincerely, very convinced about it, that it is the translation or it is the tafsir of the Quran Sharif that is. It's an explanation of the Quran, and it's every ayat, then you get the hadith, and then it's an explanation. You get a Quran Sharif ayat, you get a hadith, and then there's an illustration. So if you can't do this much, that learn the tafsir under the supervision and guidance of someone that is experienced, then the least it besides the Quran to be daily in the homes for the preservation of your faith and the faith of the generations that are to come and do the ta'aleem like how you would have the morning tea. When you don't have the morning tea, your mind doesn't open up. You don't have your supper, you can't sleep. So life is important for you to have your supper. Life is important for you to have your morning tea. Then the same principle must be applied to the ta'aleem and to the Quran. And then you see that the home is for a different environment altogether. Suddenly now there is Mahabharata in the family. Wouldn't the members of the home, this Mahabharata, this understanding, this direction, they are lost. Now where did this come from? The burqat of the Quran Sri, the burqat of the Tani that has been done daily. It can't be left for a single day. I ask anybody here, did they go at any day, any time of the life, 24 hours long, any new burqat? Consider it as an obligation, I must have it. So this is the position of the Quran, this is the position of Tani, it must be known. Whether we like it or we don't like it, but we have to do it. For us to understand and appreciate it, we have to practice it, understand it, apply it. You see a different kind of practice here within your own. There's love, there's understanding, there's direction, there's better results. These from how many other laws? Therefore, they say in Farsi, Khana al Khaliya, Dev be here. When the home is void of the Quran, Ta'leem, the words of Allah Ta'ala, and the word of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the thing that overtakes the home is Jadu, Jinnah, Shaitan, they all begin to flourish in the world. Then you see fights, then you see misunderstanding, China is not behaving, China is not listening to the father, we've got so much going, we've seen so many times for Umrah, etc. But he's not just obeying, he pulls up his face for small little things. We can't just get across the challenge. And where does this start off? We didn't do this. Allah Shabbat Hadith from Allah Zakariya Sahib says that this is a proven fact. That if the members of the home are not performing the Fajr Namaz, and it is that the child is being decreed for them, 99% or 100% the child is going to be disobedient. The reason is obvious that you couldn't be obedient to Allah, right? You were obedient to Allah, then how do you expect your child to be obedient to you? Allah has given you everything. And after giving you everything, you couldn't be obedient to Him. And you want your subordinate to be obedient to you, how can that happen? Can never happen. So go on conclusion, the child will remain disobedient. No matter what you do, what you try, what time you do, it's not going to work. It will work, but it will be just suppressing a little bit of symptoms for a few days, and again you go for another time. Go for another rukia. Go for another gene catcher. Something you're going to work in. It's a relapse. All that happened. The actual thing was to get the treatment from the root. And the root was the Quran, the Hadith. Get that into the home. And you see the magic. You see that. You see it's got its own growth. So the one important thing is the Quran, the recitation of the Farsi, and Ta'leem now. They seem to be very simple treatments and cures, but it is for you to apply it to understand the beauty. We are used nowadays to listen to something fantastic, something exciting, fantastic, etc. You know, for every second, third person's mouth or his tongue is the Ansar soup. Every second person comes to the house or comes to the madrasa, and this is what he's discussing. So I say it's not something that he's not expected to expect. Because, see, look at the Quran, say, verse, no, verse of Allah, no, this one, Ibadi, no, no. This is straight. If Allah opens up sustenance, then people will get into corruption. Let me quote you. All say corruption. Because the wealth requires expression. It was the wealth. Now you have to express it somehow, some drama, some entertainment, some excitement, you want to do it. You didn't have the wealth, that you are locked up. You don't have the wealth, can't do it. Can't fly to Dubai to see the New Year's, right? Spend $100,000 for the 3 hours. I don't have the money. But suddenly I got the money, for the $100,000, splash it over the 3 hours, it's easy. Wealth wants expression. Wealth wants manifestation, wants to manifest itself, embody it. So I, the ego overtaking, you know, I need to express it. So when I bought it, I would express it. And then when I begin to express one luxury, then the luxury, you know, somewhat after one type of luxury, then the enjoyment dies. I want something harder. The example of it is like a drug. You took ganja one time, now you want something even stronger. You want comfortable, now you want something even harder, something harder. One type of music, nasheed, and something stronger. Because the first one is not giving you the satisfaction, I'll go to a higher level. And to a higher level. And then this is an entire build up to that, what you see in that side. But like those people, presenters are guilty, then we also guilty. Sometimes we can shift the guilt onto them, not realizing that really we are also guilty. We also need all these things, the sheep, this type of radio, that type of entertainment, that type of excitement, not all these things, yeah. And then until there's a big bust up, then our eyes open up, hey, what's happening now? Not realizing that we led ourselves to this. Many a times I speak to youngsters, and I say, nearly all of you have got WhatsApp, Polish channel, appliances, and that kind of any child can tell me, any child can tell me that he was Googling or looking for something. In the process, did he come across some haram or not? Any person can tell me that he come across any haram. You know, I tell the students, don't tell me, because then you're going to be exposing yourself. But ask yourself, I've been looking at all this here, and then in the process of looking at it, I did come across some haram. Some haram. And sometimes the nature of the haram is such that then it sticks into the heart. One chacha, you know, 70 years of age, is a great grandfather. So he tells me, you know, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? So he tells me, sometimes I insult that what I see in the picture of the naked woman that I see in the Google or whatever. I was there, not looking for it. But the picture just popped up. And my eyes just popped out. That picture popped up, and my eyes just popped out. So he says, God, I insult that, I'm supposed to be the closest to Allah. But at that time, a photo comes to me, really distinct, graphic picture of a girl that I've seen that. Now the chacha is telling me, and in my view, for his honesty, for his truth, really, ordinary person, not very educated, but that honesty of God, I really admire, I appreciate that. So he says, I'm afraid that if it's my last moments, you know, like I was close to Allah, I was supposed to be the closest wife, I mean, Sajda, now if it's my last moments, I was supposed to be the closest to Allah, if the picture of that girl comes in and intervenes between me and the recitation of Qur'an, then what? What's going to happen to me? So he says, you know, in the interest of my iman, I'm busting this. I'm just going to take a simple phone, just to the simple requirements. This is just a phone and a SMS facility, nothing beyond it. It's my investment for my iman. Although the man is a multi-million, not multi, two-time, multi-million man. But he says, for the investment and the security, protection of my iman, I'll live in my way, in the region. My cover, I'll have to live. Nobody will come and support me. For the protection of my iman and busting this thing here, just seeing a simple appearance. My iman, my akhirat, my Allah Ta'ala, I have to face all that I will face. So for my own future, I do this. Just take me back, you know. A person, I mean, it's some season, right? December, January, the fruit season. And when the fruit season comes, then the mango is heavy, the mango and the next delicious, it prevails. Every other fruit is forgotten. Bananas, apples, all that is forgotten. Everybody is going for the delicious and the mango. Man is driving his car into a shopping area, and he sees all his mangoes being advertised. So, export grain, and he bought about 10 boxes, put into his trunk. Went home, left his home, and now it's around just before Maghrib time. So he's trying, you know, after Maghrib, you have to go for Gush, then time will come out to Maghrib Isha, it was Gush and then the Bayan and whatever else, the Ghuduri, and after Isha will be the Bayan, and then after the nice, good appetite, I'm really enjoying it, mangoes will be nice and chilled, and my friend, my wife, but he told us, and he comes into the house after Isha, the variety is over. Wife respects, serve the meals and all that. Everything was over. Now everything is over. I really will arm God. Raise the bang. Now he finds it a little bit embarrassing to ask his wife what's the bang. Now he can't resist. He bought the boxes of mango, and he can't resist to ask his wife. Eventually, his temptation had a bit over him, so he asked her, what happened to the mango? So she had a broad smile on her face. So she says, you know what, your children, from the 10 boxes that you bought, they finished 9 and a half. And the half of Oxford said, I could resist, I finished it. Now, men, see, big people have big brains, they have big hearts, big understanding. Small people, small minds, birds, mind, they think small, shout, scream, break things, hurt people. But big people have big minds, big understanding. Man, he goes back and teaches to himself, look, what is the lesson that I need to learn out of this whole thing? A real life experience, but what must I learn out of this? So even he thought about it, an hour, 2 hours, 1 day, 2 days, he thought about it very carefully. After giving it a careful thought, then he said, alright, I've got this type of finance, about 25, 30 million. My 15 million, I'm dedicating it for the Madrasa for Maktab, for students' education, and the masjid is the time for it. It can be nice namaz, perform, Jamaat activities, Maktab, running very well. So 15 million, I'm looking for a prize spot on Dulhatiya for them. The other 15 million, my wife and children, I made arrangements for them, I made arrangements for this. So they asked the chapter, why we consider relationship, the mango into a mosque, from a masjid, from a mango to the masjid, how did it relate? So he says, the relationship is very simple. I thought to myself, I really analyzed the whole thing. I thought to myself, you see, you all couldn't do for me with little mangoes in my lifetime. When I'm dead and gone, what would you all do for me? When I'm alive, you all couldn't do for me. Okay? When I'm dead and gone, I'm out of sight, then I'm not out of mind, you all couldn't do anything for me. I need to do for my life. For the isolation of the grave, I need to do. For my gender, I need to do. So I made the computer with the arrangements, my children, to do the jamaat work. I built a masjid for the maktab, and I'm seeing that the jamaat activity is taking place. Just the masjid will be flourishing all the time. So like I've done for you, I have done, I need to do for myself as well. I can't only do it for you, I can't be staying for you only. I need to do for my affairs as well. So the understanding, I say, big people, they think big. People, great minds, they think great. So small minds, like peanuts, they think like peanuts. Hey, why is all the mango? You know, I spent it for that thing. And could you have a consideration and respect for me? You know, I'm your father. Peanut brains, but peanut understanding. But people without understanding of oceans, they think like this. This is all they think. Wise man is how they think. So we're coming back to this consulting. What I think is this for 10 minutes now. It's 10 minutes after around the whole thing up. This entertainment, excitement, etc. In this nation, it wants something harder and harder. Music, something harder. Drugs, it wants something harder. Entertainment, we've seen the world, like enough of world now, then we go table mounting. Table mounting enough, then we go to Disneyland. So then we want something harder all the time. You're not comfortable with what you've seen already. You want to go harder and harder all the time. Until the death overtakes you. Driving the corona, no, enough corona, what is junk now? I move in the world. After that, now Jaguar. After that, now the Porsche. Then the Ferrari. Then, but just continue, let's move on. The entertainment, excitement, just wants escalation. It's moving from one level. The third kaboom, the other one, the other. From one level, the other level. So forth and so on. Until you move to another level. Now, understand that this is what we are in for. We see that wealth are expression, it was drama, entertainment, excitement, comfort is what you want. Now, just try to understand it with the appearance of Dajjal. Now, Dajjal will have drama, excitement, entertainment, entertainment at the highest level. You can't think, in a worldly sphere of the world, you can't just understand excitement and entertainment as high as the time of the Dajjal. Imagine the Dajjal movie coming to the Hadith, right? He's moving in a certain territory, and people are drought stricken, right? So he commands the clouds kind of bring the rain, and then immediately rains. He's going past on Qabristan, and Qabristan, all you dead people come out. You see your great grandfather coming out, father, everybody coming out. And imagine now, what would be the taste, the level of a drama, entertainment. Now, these days, even wealth, what we know of wealth, gold, silver, rupees, pearls, kind, etc.
That would be running after him, like bees.
He's running after him.
On the one side, you are jannah, you are witness to all these things. Now, when you see all these things, can you resist that temptation? Can a person, a normal person, when he's been, so as to say, drunken with entertainment, he's intoxicated with entertainment, excitement, etc., would that person be able to restrain and restrict himself? He wants to go and entertain himself. He wants to see his flying from here to America, Australia, just for entertainment, excitement. So, when he can spend that amount of wealth only for entertainment and excitement, this thing is appearing before him, you think that he'll be able to resist. So therefore, the hadith says that a person will think to himself, Yara annahu mu'minun. He will think that I'm a believer. When I'm a believer, I'm educated, I know about Iman. I know about Iman, I'm educated. So I'll be able to understand and shift out the haram from the halal, the wrong from the right. I'll be able to do it. I don't understand. See, like how every person feels this day. Yeah, Jahu Kulli, he, Rahi, Mirahi. Everybody feels an eye can read between the lines. I can understand. I can think nobody can fool me. Nobody can deceive me. I can understand the thing. So everyone feels the same. Every person feels the same. We're going into this technology. Tell me, those that go into the deep, what happens? Either technology or the sheets and songs, not songs and technology. The immediate consequence of that is the recitation of the Quran Sharif and the zikr Allah will take a drop of alcohol. Ask anyone. It's a challenge of telling you that anybody goes into the sheets, songs, whether it's nas, whether it is technology, then the Quran Sharif and the zikr Allah will definitely be there. You won't be able to recite that amount of Quran Sharif, that amount of zikr, that amount of ponderance of the hereafter, you want. Any pretense is what is your and what the laws and what the rate is, what the rate of the deed. So the time that you have for pondering about the hereafter, pondering about Allah Ta'ala, zikr, Quran Sharif, as though you've got a one-to-one communication with Allah, that has been quite what? What a pretense, let's look at the community, let's look at this. In the meanwhile, you do not know that the design of all this. Someone is an atheist, someone is a lesbian, someone is a gay, and he is instilling subtle messages to you. And that thing is mounting upon your arm. And then you have Iman ibn al-Aws. Now you have 101 different types of doubts. The amount of email messages that you get nowadays about doubts, such as Iman, you can imagine. But where you start, you have to start from this point. You don't have the defense mechanism. You don't have Iman ibn al-Aws at that level. And then you want to experiment with this thing here. And then you are then risking the Iman. I say, is it fair to the Iman? So now, the hadith is saying that this person will consider himself to be a mu'min. And he sees what the Dajjal has got. He sees what he's offering. And the Dajjal, according to the hadith of Al-Dawsi, and this is the Sata, the actual words are some insan, he's a man. He's not a phenomenon. Now, maybe some people are talking about this, and it's a phenomenon, not a phenomenon, it is a genuine man, Azam inside the actual words of the Quran of Hadith. Like Hadith speaks about, the Quran speaks about insan and jinn, خلق الانسان من صلصال كالفخار وخلق الجان من مارج من نار. So one is insan, one is jinn. So the Hadith speaks about the Dajjal as Azam inside, a great person. Big person. Very, very big person. So, are you coming into contact with Dajjal himself? Do you think that you can resist this? Imagine the temptation, the fitna is going to be so strong. The mujib kabo shilba. They will just beat you. They will just take you like a tsunami. Can you share the tsunami? If I have Iman, and I'll save myself from the tsunami. You can't save yourself. There are some fitna that you can manage. The fitna that are beyond the writing is in this theory. But the young Quran of the Hadith of Abu Dawud says, then you keep a distance. But here the person thought to himself, no, I am a mu'min, I am educated, I will be able to resist. But when he sees that the Jah fitna, he'll be And these are things where you keep a distance. Don't you think to yourself to be too strong. You keep a distance, that is your protection. Anyway, in this last 3 minutes, explaining to you, I wish to explain to you what the Hadith has to say about the time of Fitna. What are you supposed to be doing? You know, the Wisdom of the greatest person. Greatest creation, for that is the Wisdom. So he speaks to the greatest and most accurate, most complete of the answer. So in the Hadith, there are 3 words. One is, for the Yakun Ahlas of Beauty. For the Yakun Ahlas of Beauty, you be like the back of thorns. In the expression that they give on this, one is to get a carpet, right? And then you see what Imam's carpet on top. So this carpet here can be changed, right? But this carpet here remains there, sometimes 15 years, 20 years, nothing will remain. This can always be replaced, but that one doesn't, is not replaced. So for the Yakunu Ahlas of Beauty, you must remain like a carpet. And you don't move, just give me. So you work within your own self, your own people that come directly under your influence, you work with them. The second hadith says, well, you start a beitu, and you remain within your home. Again, same thing. When the fitna comes, another thing is you will come with such power that you won't be able to do this. So what hadith says, you will stay within your home. Work within yourself, your own self. For progress, it's within your home. Don't think of going away, it's within your home. The third hadith says, that when this kind of fitna comes around, manishtas rafalaha, that's the people of whom. It's a personal goal of the Hadith. Manishtas rafalaha, that's the people of whom. One that wants to look at it as well. He wants to see. He wants to see that that fitna will pull him. It will take him. You are just looking at it. But the strength, the force of the fitna is such that it will pull you. Pull you. And then when I look at this Hadith again and again, I think to myself, how much does it apply to a phone? When you are peeping into something there, right? Looking, you became booked onto that. I asked you, can you leave it now? You know, my one friend, his son, unfortunately, very interesting. His son, very interesting. Son is about 19 years of age, 20 years of age, and he fell into this. So the father took away from him, disturbing his education, his school, all that. They took away from him. In the next day or so, the child went into a depression. He had to be admitted to hospital. I see. He couldn't make it, he couldn't manage it. There's such an addiction, there's such a level of dependence that you can't leave it. So it's such a thing now that this is saying, when he's just rough on the heart, just reful of you, take a chance, you will experiment with this thing here. The way it will drag you, the namaz is gone, the concentration is gone, the figure of Akhirat is gone. Your Quran study is now is gone, everything will be gone. But if you come back to the simple, basic concept that we learned in the Maktabs, Ulama Ikram, Musagarani, and our elders, inshallah, that is much more a safer way than this invented way of this culture that we are born into. May Allah protect us.